provided if you need a nursery. And so we just appreciate you being with us here today in the services. We're going to be trying to just follow the Lord where He wants us to begin this morning. If you'll go with me to Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter 2. I did want to mention a couple things as you go to Exodus chapter 2. If you would be in prayer for Brother Pittman, Brother Bill Pittman and his family. The gentleman we mentioned Wednesday night, Brother Paul Thompson, I believe that's his uncle. He ended up passing away. So you pray for him. I think this is the third or fourth person they've lost in the last year in their family. You just pray the Lord will be with them and bless and help them during this time. Also, Miss Roy has family. He is your cousin that is 40 years old and he's got brain tumors. They give him about 30 days is what they're telling him. He's got children, wife, family. Just you pray. I know the Lord can work miracles. He can do. Just pray the Lord would be with the family, be with him. And we just ask God to show Himself real to us. Amen. There's a lot of people in need of prayer. You never know what somebody's going through. That's why it's so important to be kind, the Bible says, one to another. Tenderhearted. Amen. You never know what somebody's going through, and we need to prayerfully love each other the way He loved us and share His love. What He said, especially those of the household of faith. So there's an emphasis on those who we attend church with, those we know who are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to go overboard. Amen. Amen, preacher. Hallelujah. Amen. Like I said before, you ain't going to scare me to death. Talk to me. Amen. Exodus chapter 2. Everybody still with me? Amen. Exodus chapter 2. Let's begin in verse number 1. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took wife a daughter of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" I want you to go over to chapter 3 for sake of time. Several years have passed from where we just left off to chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I want you to look back in verse number 8 of chapter 3, where the Bible says, this is the Lord speaking, and it says, And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Verse number 10, it says, Come now therefore, and I will send thee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time we've already had, the time we have spent worshiping you in song. Lord, the Sunday school teachers have presented their lessons, and I thank you for each and every one of them who are faithful every Sunday morning to come to deliver the lesson to their classes, and Lord, their faithfulness. We've seen much fruit of that throughout the years, and God, I thank you for them, and I pray that you bless them. I pray that the children and young people that are downstairs, when they hear the Word of God, Lord, that they allow it to not just come into their ears, but they allow it to change their lives and change who they are for the glory of God. Father, as we come into your house today, as we have worshiped you, my prayer is that every individual in this building has come to take off their shoes and to worship you this morning. I pray that they have not come to scorn, they have not come to cause division, they have not come, Lord, with another idea upon their mind or their heart. They've not come with contention in their hearts, but they've come with open hands to worship you. God, first of all, I just want to thank you for loving us the way you do. John 3:16 tells us, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we thank you this morning that you loved us enough to give us your Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And shame on us if we have not given you thanks at least once today already for thanking you for all that you've done for us, providing us salvation, providing life to us eternal. Lord, I just want to thank you for all you've done. You've given us the health and the ability to be here today. Lord, you've breathed into us life, and you've given us life, and you've given us the oxygen that goes in and out of our lungs, the ability to see and walk and touch and feel. And we thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for these people that have come this morning to the house of God again to worship you. And I pray that you'd help us as we present the Word of God to them that you have put upon our heart. And God, I just pray that you would speak through us. I pray the power of God would be upon us this morning. We need you. I need you for every word that will be uttered today. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want you to see this morning, we're going to be back and forth a little bit between some Old Testament and New Testament and just looking at some things in Moses' life. But what I want you to see, the key factor this morning, is the fact that when the Lord came down and He presented Himself to Moses after Moses had now spent 40 years following sheep around in the desert, in the Lord's training process. Because as you know, Moses went out when he was 40 years old from Pharaoh's house, and he tried to deliver God's people in his own way. He tried and he killed an Egyptian, buried him in the sand, and he was in his own way trying to deliver God's people. And God said, no, that's not how we're going to do this thing, Moses. You need to go to school for 40 years. And so for 40 years, God put Moses in the desert, teaching him, training him to be what God needed him to be. When Moses saw the burning bush and the Lord spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, we see here in chapter 3, the first thing the Lord told him, the first thing the Lord said to him, in verse number 4, look at what it says. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, when the Lord realized he got Moses' attention, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. The Lord said, don't get any closer. Don't come any closer to this bush. He said, you need to take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. You'll notice when Joshua, if you remember the story about Joshua, and Joshua saw the angel standing there with the sword of what he perceived to be the angel of the Lord, and he went over to him and asked him, are you for us or are you for the enemy? And you remember the words of that. He said, nay. He said, you're not even on the right page here. He said, I'm not either for you or them. I am come as the captain of the host of the Lord. He said, you got it all wrong. He said, you're looking for somebody to be on your side and somebody to be on their side. He said, no. He said, let me tell you something. I'm here to lead God's people. And one of the things I wanted to mention just by way of introduction, God has a plan and God has a purpose, and you are a part of that plan and purpose. But the first thing you've got to understand is it's not about God being on your side. It's about you being on God's side. Amen. We got too many people trying to live this life the way they want to live it and asking God to ride along. God said, nay, I don't work like that. I said, Moses, take your shoes off. Don't get any closer. You're on holy ground. He said, Joshua, he told him the same thing. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. He said, Joshua, I am not either for you or against you. I am come as the captain of the host of the Lord. What we must understand and what we must get in our minds is not the question, you know, this bumper sticker you've seen is Jesus your co-pilot? That's retarded. I mean, come on, if Jesus is in the vehicle, he better be driving. I mean, he can walk on water. But so many people want to live their life and they want to invite the Lord in. Lord, would you please bless me now as I go and do this thing that I'm going after? No, the Lord's standing there saying, wait a minute, no, take your shoes off. You're not going anywhere with me in that manner. You are on holy, holy ground. And we need to teach our children, we need to help them have this understanding, something Moses had to understand. If he was going to do what God purposed in his life to do, he had to take his shoes off and he had to worship God. The first step in ministry
is learning how to worship God. You say, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Let me just share something with you here. Worshiping God is something we really don't understand. Some people say worship and all they think about is somebody getting up singing a song. Worship is a way of life. We can worship God in song, yes. But you know what? God wants more than just worship in song. He wants worship every day, all day long. See, what the devil has tried to do, the devil has tried to separate. He's like, okay, Monday through Saturday, you have your own life. And then on Sunday, we will worship God. That's not in my Bible. Worshiping God is a daily process. And young people, yes, the Lord has a purpose. The Lord said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the goal of Christ. It's to seek and to save. Just as he told Moses, I am come down to deliver my people. He said, I came down to deliver my people. You know what? Jesus did come down. He was nailed to an old rugged cross. He gave his life a ransom for all of us. But just like he told Moses, the way I'm going to deliver this world is through you. But what we have got to understand is this. You will never minister to anybody if you don't properly worship God. I feel like I need to spend a few minutes there. What does worshiping God mean? Well, like I've said before, we make appointments for a lot of different things. We make appointments to go see the eye doctor. We make appointments to do this. We make appointments at work. We have meetings, and depending on what you do, you make and set aside in your calendar, I'm going to be at this place at this time for this amount of minutes, and this is what we're going to discuss, and this is what we're going to talk about. We plan and organize every other part of our lives, but yet we do not schedule anything. And I'm not, Sunday, yeah, that's great, that's wonderful, you come to the house of God. But what other time in the week have you set aside for Him? When's the last time you had a calendar pop up? Boom. Go to the park bench, sit down, and read Psalm 100. Amen. When's the last time? And I'm not saying you got to invite yourself to these, but sometimes you're so chaotic. Our lives, we have to put those things in there. But worship is about making time for God. Worshiping Him. I mean, in our relationships, and I use this a lot because we're human and we think, and the Lord used parables because He knew how we think. But like I said, I mean, even with a husband and wife, the whole reason me and my wife have been married now for almost 23 years is the fact that I have taken time to spend with her. Hello, hello. And it wasn't once a week. I'm not only... Y'all with me? My in-laws are here this morning. It's a miracle that they attend the church here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. I love my in-laws. Amen. It's a blessing. But one of the things, when I met my wife, back then, we didn't have cell phones, believe it or not. I know, dark ages, right? But I'd have to write letters and pick up a phone. Amen. My grandma still had the one you had to roll. But you know what? It wasn't just once a week, Brother Alex, that I set aside and I said, well, you know what? For 5 or 10 minutes, I'm going to call and see how she's doing. I'm going to call and just talk to her. Huh. No. I was smitten. okay? I was writing letters. I was calling as often as I could call. Amen. I had brothers and sisters at the house, and we only had one phone line, okay? So I'd go down to the gas station and get on the payphone. My brother was talking to somebody else, so I had to just run down to the gas station, get on the payphone. But you see, because I spent time and communicated and showed her that I loved her for those years, for that period of time, and then finally moved up here and had enough guts finally to ask her daddy if it was all right. Amen. He's from Detroit. Amen. If that makes any sense to anybody. But you know what? We spent time together. We communicated. We had a relationship of more than just once a week for 5 or 10 minutes. It was daily. It was something. She was always on my mind. I was always thinking about her. What's she doing? I wonder what's going on. And I hope most of y'all understand that. But why do we think we can have a relationship with God based upon a few minutes of a week? You can't have or develop a good relationship with anybody over just a few minutes a week. An hour a week is not going to cut it. Even Jesus Christ Himself, it would blow your mind how many nights, complete evenings, He went up into the Mount of Olives and spent all night communicating with His Father. If Jesus Christ had to spend that much time with His Father to do the work His Father wanted Him to do, how do we expect to do anything on 1 hour a week? What I'm trying to get you to understand, young folks, is this. Yes, God has a purpose for your life. Yes, God wants you to understand His Word. He wants you to spend time in it. But the reason you spend time in it is so you get closer to Him and have a relationship with Him and talk with Him, worship Him, and then God can use you. We have got to get back to the place where we stop inviting God to come ride along and we start saying, Lord, I love You. I love You, Lord. See, because too many people today are trying to do and do and do and do, and they've lost that relationship. When's the last time you just got on your knees and said, Lord, I love You. Thank You for what You did for me. Thank You. Thank You. Because here's something God knows, and He's a little smarter than we are. If you appreciate what He did for you, if you ever get to that point where you just really appreciate what He did for you, it ain't gonna matter what He asks you to do. But I'm telling you, we have churches across this country. I'm not talking about heathen people. I'm talking about churches across our country where people aren't doing anything. And the reason is they're not doing anything is because they don't have an appreciation for what God did for them. I will tell you this, you will not have a very good relationship with your wife if you never do anything for her. I'm going to sink the plow a little deeper and hit it again. I'm just telling you this, we're loaded with church people who do nothing except come to the house of God. Yes, we need to be in the house of God. Yes, we need to hear the Word of God proclaimed. But I'm telling you what, the Lord's been loading my wagon to preach more and more and more about us just getting serious about worshiping Him and doing for Him. And the reason we don't do is because we don't have that close-knit relationship with Him. We're more concerned about this and about that instead of Him bleeding and dying on a cross to save your wretched soul, and you can't even love other people as much as He. I mean, We need to get back to where we are doing because of what He did for me. We love Him because He first loved us. Like I've said many, many, many times, He made it very simple for us, the two things He's asked us to do. First of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He's asked you to love Him. He asked you, it's a command, love Him. Why? Because if you don't love Him, He knows nothing else will happen for the name of Christ. Do you want your marriage to work? Love your wife as Christ also loved the church. Is that not what the Bible says? But that's where we fall off the cart. We want to minister. We want to have a ministry without a relationship with God and without that time spent with Him. Everything, my dad always explained it to me this way. Everything that Jesus did upon this earth, the only thing He agonized and worked hard at was prayer. He prayed so hard, the Bible tells us sweat drops were falling out of His head. You ever prayed that hard? He spent all night praying. In agony. I mean, He prayed, and when He prayed, it wasn't just this, now I'll lay me down to sleep. No, He prayed. With fervency, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Everything else in the Lord's life was easy. He touched blinded eyes, said, rise up and walk. Just the spoken word, that was it. It was easy. Every work He did was easy for Him because He spent time with His Father. That relationship with His Father was strong and He loved His Father. And everything else was easy. That's why He tells us His yoke is easy and His burden is light. The problem is we're picking up things He told us not to pick up. That's why you're burdened down. I am like so far out left field from what I was going to preach. But we have got to get to where that relationship, that worship is where it ought to be in our lives. So young people, if you're praying for the will of God, let me just tell you this. Just stop wording your prayers in that manner. Go to where Paul in the New Testament, he says, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. I guarantee you this, when you start seeking after God and you start seeking for that closeness and you start seeking for that power and you start seeking just to have that relationship with Him, nobody's going to have to hit you over the side of the head and tell you what the will of God is. I guarantee it. Everybody that I've seen in my life or known in my life that's done anything for God, it started because they had a passion and a love for God and what God did for them. And the ministry wasn't that big of a deal. We have got to get back to where we realize we are dealing with God in heaven. We need to have a reverence, taking off our shoes in front of Him, not demanding Him to tell me or bless me because I'm going to go do this for you. No, 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 no. No, no, no. We need to get back to worship, amen? Every single moment of every day just being thankful that He loved you and picked you up out of a miry pit of sin and put you on a foundation, amen? Hallelujah. Some of you just need to remember where you were when He picked you up or where you might be. Second thing, right after the worship, the Lord explained to him who He was. He's very clear. When He speaks to you, it's not a confusing matter. I'm not going to dig too deep into that, but when the Lord speaks, He's very clear of who He is. But look in verse number 8, He said, or go back to verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their song. And I am come down to deliver them. The second thing he tells Moses, the second thing he deals with Moses after they get the whole worship part and the understanding of who God is and understanding that relationship that's needed there, the Lord tells him, I have seen the affliction. I've heard it, I've seen it, and I know it. He said, and therefore I am come down to deliver them. The second thing you must understand is this. When you get that relationship with Him and that closeness with Him, you will not have a problem understanding His purpose. See, in the New Testament, as we're studying through the book of John, Jesus always said, I have done nothing of myself. I just do what my Father tells me to do, to paraphrase that a little bit. He just said, I'm just doing my Father's will. I'm just doing what He told me to do. Okay? Understanding what He's telling us to do, understanding His purpose. As I said before, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. When's the last time you spent time seeking somebody that was lost? That was your master plan. Today, I will find somebody that's lost. I'm going to seek until I find. I'm going to seek until I find. Jesus always found them with physical needs before He met their spiritual needs. That's where that love comes in. If you can love people like He loves them, you won't have a problem helping somebody that's lost with a physical need to get to their heart. Many people got saved in the New Testament because Jesus gave them sight. Y'all with me? There were many people that He reached because He healed their disease. Just because He allowed them to see did not mean He saved their soul. Some of y'all are looking at me like, what? No, He touched the physical, and that allowed Him access to the spiritual. You ever heard the old saying, nobody really cares what you know until they know how much you care? Jesus met the needs of the physical needs of people and could enter into their spiritual realm at that point. When's the last time we went seeking somebody that was lost? You know, people that I see in my life that just have a passion to see people get saved, I have no question in my mind of their love for Him and their understanding of His purpose. Amen? See, we complicate everything. The Bible tells me, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is He talking about there? Things. What is He talking about? Things. Because the devil uses those things to keep your life so wrapped up and miserable and busy, you don't seek after the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? To go look for somebody that's lost. To love somebody. To share forth the love of Christ to other people. Jesus promised me that if I would seek His kingdom first, He said all that other stuff. He said, He told us He clothed the flowers of the field. He feeds the birds every day. You know, I've never seen a bird out there just going, ah! No, it's the most beautiful sound in the mornings you've ever heard. Those birds out there just thanking the Lord. Beautiful. You know, He feeds them. He said, you know, He knows when every sparrow falls. And what He was trying to tell His people is, don't you think if I know when a little sparrow falls that I'm not aware of what you need? But the requirement is that we seek the kingdom of God first. Young people, first seek after His kingdom. And He promised. And He keeps His word. He promised. All these things shall be added unto you. Now the problem is, a lot of times it may not be up to your want list, but He knows exactly what you need. Amen? So understanding. All right, now we're going to preach in 5 minutes. I'm going to try to do it in 5 minutes, all right? I want to show you something. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I think this will help us put it all together quickly. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We see that God had a purpose for Moses' life. Moses was to be the one to deliver God's people from Pharaoh. But I want to show you something. The process did not start with Moses. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born. When Moses was born, he didn't have the ability to have faith. Who's he talking about? His parents hid him. Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents, had faith. Now, you've got to understand this. Pharaoh was the highest power in the world at this point in history. You got your mind wrapped around that? So this order for, if you go back to Exodus, you'll find that he pulled in all the midwives first, and he said, I want you to kill all the boy babies. Before they're born, just kill them. The enemy's still trying to kill them today, and still is. But he said, midwives, I want you to kill them. Well, the midwives had enough sense and had been around these ladies so much and had seen the hand of God, seen the blessings of God. Somebody had been loving on them. I guarantee you, those ladies of the Hebrew ladies, amen, something had to be strong enough for those midwives. They lied to the Pharaoh. Now, you didn't just lie to the Pharaoh. You didn't just go up against Pharaoh. He'd cut your head off like that. No big deal. He's the most powerful man in the world at that point in time. And those midwives said, well, Pharaoh, these ladies ain't like the Egyptian ladies. When they have child, man, that baby's born before we even get to the door. That's what they said. Pharaoh was a very powerful man, but Pharaoh didn't have a whole lot of common sense. Because midwives said, Pharaoh, this is what happened, so we can't do anything. Well, then he tells all of his people after that. After the Lord blessed them and after they kept growing and became strong. You know, Pharaoh's trying to beat them down to nothing and God's raising them up. And he told all of his people, if you see a baby, man, child, throw it in the river. Let the crocodiles have them. And if you read in Acts chapter 7, you'll find out that there were many male children thrown into the river because they were afraid of Pharaoh. So I think when we read this verse a lot of times, we're thinking, oh, they had faith, they hid their child, whoopee-doo, big deal. No. Most of you would not be here this morning if somebody gave you a notice and said, if you go to church this morning, we're going to kill you. There's people all over the world that are going to church this morning and have been told, you go to church, I'm going to kill you. You're found with Scripture, I'm going to kill you. I'm just telling you, in America, our faith is so little because we've not exercised it or had to exercise it. The parents of Moses said, you know what? We are not throwing this baby in the river. We are not obeying the command of the worldly king. So they hid him in the house for 3 months. Hit him in the house. Parents, let me just say, if you want God to use your child, if you want God to use your child in a mighty way, The faith process needs to start with you. The faith process needs to begin at home. If you remember, Paul even spoke to Timothy, and he said, because of the faith of thy grandmother and thy mother. Timothy was who he was because he had a mama and a grandmama that had faith. The Bible tells us his daddy was lost. His daddy was a Greek man. His daddy did not believe in God. But his mama had enough faith and his grandma had enough faith. They instilled and showed him what that meant. So parents, you want God to use your children? Exercise your faith. Don't go with the flow of the king's commandments, the worldly things that, well, everybody else is doing. They come home,
well, so-and-so's got this, and so-and-so's doing that, and so-and-so watched this.
No, we do not mandate what we do based upon what everybody else does. We mandate what we do from the Word of God. We need to get back to letting this be the handbook and not the king's commandments. I know that ain't popular, but let me tell you something. If we want children of faith, we have got to start showing them some faith. And then the Bible said when he couldn't be hid, I don't know of any mama. I know my wife and I know how much she loves her babies. To have enough faith to take that baby at 3 months and to put him in an ark of bulrushes, the Bible says, and to pitch it inside and out of slime, and to take that baby boy. Now, if you read in that Nile River, there's all kinds of snakes, there's all kinds of crocodiles, alligators, and that mama had enough faith to wrap that baby up, slime and pitch that thing, and to lay it right there. Where all the enemies, all the danger and everything could have taken place. You tell me that ain't faith. What mama is just going to bundle up her baby and do that? She had faith and believed that God would protect him. You know the story? God didn't do, he did much more than protect him, amen? You get through this story and you find out that the mama got paid to nurse her baby. You do things God's way, God will bless you abundantly. Go with the flow of this world. Don't let some pop star show you what your children need to look like. Well, preacher's meddling. No, I'm not meddling. I'm just telling you something. You're putting something in the heart of your child if you want them to look like that and act like that. No, get them in the Word of God. This is what God wants for your life. The parents had faith. And then it says, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years... We learn in Acts chapter 7, that was when he was 40 years old. We know he went about it his own way, but that was finally at 40 years old, he was looking. He had looked at 38, 39. He had seen the Pharaoh or the Egyptians beating on his brothers out there. And could you imagine growing up and just seeing that? And finally at 40 years old, he made that decision. He said, you know what? I'm done with this. What does the Bible say? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He went out there and took up for one of his brothers. And he killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. Moses made a decision. The parents didn't make the decision for Moses, but Moses, when he came to years, had to make a decision. This is where young people, when your parents have shown you faith, no, they ain't perfect. There's not a perfect person in the world right now. Jesus Christ was the only perfect individual. But if you have been taught faith and shown faith in your life, there will be a time when you have to make a choice whether to go after the things of this world or to choose rather to suffer affliction. Yes, when you go to school or wherever it might be or at the workplace, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer some things for the cause of Christ. You're going to be made fun of for doing things God's way. But you're going to have to make a decision by faith. Your faith will help you make those decisions. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And understanding, I'm really trying to hurry here, understanding the riches of Egypt, understanding if he would have stayed under Pharaoh, under Pharaoh's daughter, he could have, I mean, he had anything at his fingertips that this world can offer. I'm not talking about a little boy, you know, somebody might have offered him $20 or follow Jesus. No, I'm talking about a man who had the empire of the world at his fingertips. And he said, no, I'd rather suffer with my brothers out there. We need to raise children with enough faith to say, you know what? It doesn't matter what this world offers. It doesn't matter what this world tries to put in front of me. I am going to follow Christ. It's going to take faith, but we have to show them that faith. In verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses forsook Egypt. He left and went out in the wilderness. And then the Bible shows us that later on he kept the Passover and all the things that God had shown him. All this was done by faith. But it started with his parents. It started at home. Let me just ask you something, Mom and Daddy. Have your children seen enough faith in your life just to spark up something in theirs? Have you seen any faith in your own life that would convince your child that you really believe what this Bible says? When your child grows up, they will be able to, without a doubt, look and tell other people, my mama and my daddy believed every word of God. Willing to hide your children, willing to do what it takes not to obey.
Well, I don't want my child to be made fun of.
You might as well throw them in the river. You say, preacher, you're being mean. No, I'm not being mean. We need to raise our children based on faith, based upon the Word of God. Amen. Based upon what God desires and what God wants. We can't accept saying, well, God, if you want to come along and bless me and help me in my life, you just come along if you really want. No, that is not a way to live. You need to take off those shoes and bow before Him and say, Lord, I'm going to go after Your purpose and seek Your kingdom. And I want everybody that I know that I can find that's lost, I want them to get saved. It starts with worship. When's the last time you just sat down and said, thank you, Lord, for loving me? Amen. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the Keturah comes. The first question I have this morning, if there's anybody in this building that does not know Jesus, you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, maybe you don't even understand what salvation is, what it means to be saved, my prayer is at this time, if you would come, we have plenty of people that take you in the back room and sit down and show you from the Word of God how to be saved, how to have eternal life, how to be freed from your sin. Christians, where are you at with your relationship with Him? Where are you at with your worship? Maybe somebody here this morning just going through some sorrowful times, some heavy times in this life.
Lord said that He was nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Let Him help you today. His grace is sufficient. His grace and His mercy can help you this morning. Just be obedient to the Lord. Be obedient to Him this morning, please. Amen. I appreciate you coming this morning, being a part of this service. I do pray that you be obedient to the Lord. Let Him speak to your heart. Amen. And I want to thank again my daughter for coming and playing this morning, being a part of the service today. Miss McIntosh, it's good to see you this morning. I know it's difficult for you to get up and get out of here, but we really appreciate you being here. Such a blessing. Miss Francis, you as well. Amen. We love y'all. And I appreciate you being here. I'm going to ask Davey Frady if you would dismiss us in a word of prayer, please.